Amen. Amen. Well, I think some of you guys might know what I'm talking about. When I mentioned to you that I love going on Reddit. Reddit is, if you don't know what Reddit is, that's perfectly fine. It's an online kind of message board, if you will. You download the app and you can kind of subscribe to different communities that process different things. You can learn about Atlanta or kind of learn about local stuff or whatever. But so there's all these little communities that happened on Reddit. And one of the my favorite threads, if you will, communities, if you will, is one called What Is This? And what is the what is this? What that's all about is probably the fact that someone is cleaning out their grandparents' basement or their attic, or they're doing something, digging around in an old house, and they find something, and they want to know, what is this thing? I don't know what this thing does. And then everybody goes on and replies in there what they think that thing does. Okay, so I brought a few examples that I pulled literally off of this thread. Here's the first one. This thing. That somebody posted that on Reddit. They found this in their grandmother's basement. They're like, this is kind of scary. And I looked around. There were no bodies. It looks like this should accompany like murder or something. But I want to know what this thing is. And then everybody went crazy on it. And actually, this one's funny because it's a little bit split. Some people were like, oh, I know what that is. That's an old school apple picker, which I feel like that's a bit extreme. I was like, I think that's your hand is fine, but I don't know why you would need this mechanism. But one I actually think that is true is that somebody said, no, that's actually my old school that when you canned and you did preserves and stuff, you had to like put it in a jar and dip it in hot water, and that's the thing that you lift cans, jars in and out of hot water with. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. That's what that is, all right? Here's another one. This one, which literally looks like a weapon to me, and I was like, this one's a little scary. Anybody know what this is? Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you said, but that's fine. This is a cherry picker. A pitter, meaning that you put the cherry in it and you pull the trigger and then it pushes the pit out of the cherry and then you have a pitless cherry, I guess, evidently. So that's a cherry pitter, right? Okay, see, now you see how this is made. One more for you guys. Anybody know what this one is? This is actually one of the first versions of a Wi-Fi router. Which is, I'm not kidding. It's really not that. I don't know what this is. It's some sort of grinder. I was tending to look it up, but it grinds something. So you get the gist of what this is all about. So here's why I say all this today. It's because I think it's fascinating that when people post all these things, they're basically asking the similar question. They found some object in their world. They want to know this question, the answer to this question right here, in that what is this designed to do? They found something in an attic or a basement, and they're like, I know it exists for some reason. And so the funny thing is it reflects the principle that people yearn to discover why something exists, the reason that it exists, right? And it's something that's innate in all of us. And it's funny, too, that this is true about junk and random things you find in your grandmother's basement when you're clearing that out. But honestly, too, I want to propose today that in some of our more introspective moments of our life, you know, when we're sitting around thinking about things, is that we tend to wonder the same question about ourselves. You know, I don't know if you ever do that or not. We ask a similar question, and it's phrased a little bit differently, is that, what am I designed to do? And I don't know if that crosses your mind or not, or if that's something that you're able to successfully sidestep in your world. But a lot of times, you can find you or somebody else is walking around this earth going like, why am I here? You know, in one of those kind of existential moments in whatever situation that got you there, you know, what is my use? Or sometimes there's a faith layer that falls over the top of that. That's like, God, you know, what's your plan for me? And sometimes we all go down these channels. And honestly, it's a really heavy question to begin to process, right? And you feel it. You feel it when you think about it. You feel it when you try to have conversations around it. And I would actually encourage you to try that out. I want you to have a little social experiment. Is that the next time you get together with a group of people, it's a fun dinner night out, or maybe you go to lunch with all your work friends. Before everybody starts eating, just go like, hey, real quickly, I got a question that I would love for us to talk about over our meal today. And then bust out with this question right here. What does everyone think that their purpose in life is? Right? And you'll see what I'm talking about, because it's not going to go well. Right? People are going to look at you like, what? We wanted to talk about the Braves game, or we were going to just talk about what we were going to do this weekend. No one wants to sit around and try to figure that out. And that's an annoying question. You're going to get kicked out. They're going to ask you to sit at a different table. Nobody wants to process something like that, right? You have to be really dialed in to figure that out. And I think there's a couple of reasons why this is the case, why you're not going to get a good reception when you ask a question this big. And the first one, honestly, I think it's this. It's way too big of a question to ask, you know? It's trying to like, it's trying to boil the ocean. You're trying to like sit down, like we're gonna get this all figured out in this one setting. It's like boiling the ocean, you know? It's like, how am I gonna try to justify my entire life purpose in one conversation over, you know, all of our little happy meals at the lunch, you know, at work? That's just not gonna work. I can justify my days, probably. I could tell you this is what I'm doing today. I got carpool, I'm running around trying to sell a thing, or I've got this marketing, whatever. You know, you can justify what your days or your hours are about, but it's too overwhelming to try to consider what your whole life purpose is in one sitting. It just feels too big of a question some days. And then it kind of related to that in some ways. I think the other reason that this doesn't land very well is this one, is that honestly, half the people you meet or most of the people you meet are kind of tired already. And they're gonna run in here and be like, hey, guess what? I wanna add a little bit of something to your to-do list. Determine your global purpose for existence. You know, can you add that under like do laundry? People are tired. They're like, listen, I got enough stuff going on. I have a full to-do list. I'm kind of exhausted. And seriously, I've got stuff to do, right? And then honestly, if I could take a little bit of turn and get a little bit more serious, I think there's another reason why people don't sit around and consider, you know, what am I designed to do? What am I for? And it's this one right here. And that is for some of us, for some people in the world, it's a futile question. It's a question that, you know, some people would say, well, there's no answer to that. There really is no purpose. You know, however I got here, I don't believe that there's a design to the world. I don't believe that there's a plan to the world. It's like, we're kind of, if I can say this with all due respect to humanity, we're kind of a cosmic anomaly that learned how to think and to breathe. And you know, honestly, very simply, life is, you get born and you go to school, grow up, go to school for, you know, 14, 18 years, whatever it is for you, then get a job, work 4 or 5 decades. Maybe you find a partner along the way to do this stuff with, and then maybe you take a couple of fun vacations down to 30A or wherever you go for vacation, and maybe you eventually get to retire. Maybe you make some little people along the way so they can start the same cycle again. You know, and that's kind of what life's about. Which honestly, it doesn't feel great, but honestly, I wanna honor that, the fact that there's some of us that maybe that's the way that you see it, that's the way that you approach it. So there's lots of reasons why we kind of sidestep the question of what are you designed for? What's our purpose here on the planet? And regardless of where you come from or what obstacles kind of prevent you from feeling this a lot of days, still there's moments, right? There's moments where every once in a while it kind of catches up to us, it kind of gets to us, and we start wrestling again, regardless how you feel with this conversation of purpose and what are we here for? Why do we exist, you know? Or maybe it's that kind of bugs you for a while, or somebody bugs you with it, or you come prancing into church on Sunday and somebody annoying like me stands on a stage and it's like, why are you here? And you know, all however it gets to you, it triggers something in us, and it's like part of us wants to get an answer to that. Part of us seems to kind of wake up and wonder what our purpose is or what it's all about. And we find ourselves in these kind of existential moments every once in a while, and then the phone dings or the notification comes in or the next thing on the task list clicks in and we gotta get back to it. And so we kind of shake all that off and like, oof, that was close. And then we get back to work and doing life, right? And so we shake it off, but still every once in a while, it comes back up and we find ourselves in this cyclical challenge of trying to figure out our purpose. And in some ways, we're trying to answer this question right here. And that question is, why can't we shake the question of our purpose? You know, I would love to be able to just answer for once and all and just go like, hey, that's what I'm here for. It's like a battle in our brain a lot of times that our brain wants to kind of figure this thing out. And the spoiler alert, I want to propose today that it is a bit of a battle. And it's not just me proposing that today, that I actually think that there are some researchers that I want to point out real quickly this morning that have given some explanations about why this battle exists in our brain for why we exist and what we do. And these researchers have over the last couple of decades, have kind of redefined what has traditionally been known the way the brain's set up. Traditionally, if you grew up like me, you grew up thinking this left brain, you have two hemispheres of your brain, you have a left brain and a right brain, and your left brain is kind of set up in this way right here, and that is that your left brain is really decided to be analytical. And this was kind of described to you as an identity. You are one or the other. I got to grow up and figure out, and everybody's going to stare at me and figure out, am I a left brain person? Am I an analytical person? I'm really good with numbers and math and priorities, and I'm good at tasks, and I'm good at figuring, taking complex things and chopping it up and figuring out how it all orders right. That's the analytical side. And on the other side, there's other people that really access their right brain, and they're all about creatives, and they don't know how to do any of that kind of stuff, but they're artists and they're creatives, and they're the ones that are free thinkers, and they're the ones that run around the world. They're like, I don't have time for math. I only have time for art. You know, and so we've been told through the years that this is our identity, and you have to figure out which one you are. But over time, and the recent research has kind of told us that that's really actually a too simple of a construct to kind of think about humanity, that you are one or the other, or you're some sort of gradation between the two of them. And so now they refer to these two sides of your brain, which we know we have two sides of it, as really modes, two modes that your brain can go into, and not so much types, and that you have the ability to access both kinds, both sides of it. You can bring one on or off depending on how you set up your world. That you have the ability to use your full brain. And it's kind of set up this way. Instead of it being analytical and creative, they basically say now, let's talk in modes, that your left brain has this achieving or task-oriented mode. And so your left brain clicks in when you wake up in the morning, you're like, okay, what are we doing today? We got to get the kids here. We got to get this thing figured out. I got to get to work. We got a meeting. I got to go book tickets. We got to get the laundry done. We got to figure out what to do with our water heater that's about to go out. That's left brain activity. This is that achieving, task-oriented mode that you know how that feels. You're probably very familiar with that, right? So this side of your brain, when it activates, is asking questions like what and how. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Let's figure this stuff out. You can activate that mode in your brain. The other side, the right brain, the mode of the right brain is more awakened or meaning-oriented mode. Right? This is the side of your brain that kind of pops in every once in a while and asks annoying questions when you're making good progress on your to-do list. This is the one that awakens every once in a while. Instead of asking what or how, this is the side of your brain that pops in every once in a while. It's like, can I ask a question? Why? Why are we doing all this again? I know we're making great progress, but why are we doing this again, right? And here's what researchers have found. This will be no surprise to pretty much anybody in the room, right? We spend most of our life in the left brain world. This is where we spend most of our brain activity. Most of our days is in left brain world, right? We're in achieving a task brain. This is we mostly think about what we need to do and how we're going to do it. And you know how that feels, right? You know how that feels in your life, right? We spend an enormous amount of our time answering what needs to be done, and rarely slowing down long enough to ask, hey, why are we doing any of this to begin with? You know? Why are we doing this? The question of why is the question that a lot of times gets pushed to the side because we're making great time on getting through life, right? But in some moments in your life, you still feel that right brain come online and you feel the why start to overtake the what and the how, right? And sometimes it's in some quiet moment. Maybe you're driving alone somewhere at night. I don't know why it always happens alone or at night. Sometimes you're laying in bed right before you go to sleep and you're thinking about the day. Sometimes it oddly happens in the shower, which researchers tell you that's a crazy place, but your right brain comes on, which is so weird because it ends up telling people, hey, I was thinking about you in the shower today. And that never goes well, right? Don't do that. But it's weird because your right brain comes online in those moments. And it asks why. You know, your right brain shows up and it says, why? Why do we exist? What is our purpose, you know? And why? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? How are we designed? What is this for? Well, the good news for us too is that we're not the only people to ever ask this question. And so I want us to dive into it today. And we're gonna use the writings of the Apostle Paul, actually just one verse from what the Apostle Paul wrote for us. If you know about the Bible, the Apostle Paul is a New Testament author, meaning that the New Testament really starts with four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the Gospels, and they really tell us the story of Jesus after the Old Testament that's been predicted to us. And then Paul comes after him and he starts writing all of these letters to all these little communities that are starting to follow Jesus and create these churches. And one of the ones he wrote to was a church in a town called Ephesus, which is in modern day Turkey. And so he writes to Ephesus, all about kind of this new news, this gospel message. And he kind of goes back to the basics with the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. And he tells them, he goes back and he says, hey, just to cover where we came from, you know, we were kind of born spiritually dead, but God, in his love for us, he stepped in and he saved us by his grace. And now, you know, we have all this good news and we can follow him and place our faith in him. And so the Ephesians get all this good news and it's almost as if you can see them going back to Paul and going, hey, we have a question. So we realize we're loved by God and we're kind of secured in a relationship with him now and in eternity. But a question about that, follow up, yay for that, but follow-up question. What do we do until then? You know, what's our purpose now? We're followers of Jesus, got that, if that was our goal, check mark, but what do we do now? And Paul writes this one verse to them that unpacks a really complex thought. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2 and one verse in verse 10, and he starts out and Paul says, great question. What are you made for? What? Why are you still here? And he jumps in and he starts this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says this. He said, first and foremost, I want you to know, for we are God's workmanship. Paul comes out of the gate and says, I'm going to answer this question for you. I want you to know first and foremost that your existence is not a fluke, okay? You are God's workmanship. You are designed. You are a creation. And he actually goes and uses, and I've told you this before in here, that workmanship is, Paul uses this Greek word, it's called poiema. And this Greek word is the same word that we get the word poem from. So Paul's saying, hey, you're a workmanship. You are a creation. You're a piece of art. You are something that's been crafted and designed. And so you're not a fluke, by the way. And he says, hey, as is with anything that's designed, whether you be a cherry picker or a person, that you have an actual purpose in this life. There is an answer to your question. And then he goes on and he says, now that you know you have a designer and a creator and a purpose, let's go on and talk about what that purpose is. So he says, for we are Christ's workmanship. And then he goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So in other words, if you were to go back into some first century version of Reddit and post a picture of a selfie of yourself and go like, what is this for? Paul would have logged on and he said, I'll tell you what that's for. That person is in Christ Jesus to built to do good works. That's what the purpose of that thing is for. And he says, yeah, the goal for you is to find and follow Jesus, but then after that is to do good works. And so, you know, Liz is the question, okay, so can you elaborate? What is good works? Well, good works is probably what you're imagining, right? It's the intentional ways that we reflect the character of Jesus to our world around us. It's the intentional ways that we reflect the character of Jesus in our words, in the way that we act, to make life better for other people. That's what good works are. And Paul says, guess what? That is your design. You are designed to do that. But he goes on and he's not done yet. And he says, now that you know your design, I also want you to know that God's inspired me to know something about you. So I want to go ahead and hit that head on. He says, in this world though, you know, I know this about you. Paul says, in this effort, you're going to get tired, because you're driven to be a left brain doer of life, and you're gonna get distracted because there's plenty to do in this world. And so Paul says, get this for a second. God is going to do the legwork to help you do good work. And so here's how it plays out in this passage. He says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you're created to do good works. You're created, but also too, on top of that, God promises, Paul tells us, to see to it that we're gonna have opportunities to do good every single day of our life. And we're gonna be able to do this to honor our design and answer the question, what are we here for? But also to bless the world around us, right? So it's incredible because you get to honor your design, you get to bless the world around you, and suddenly when we do this, we're gonna awaken to something that actually is our true purpose in this life. And crazy enough, there's also a surprising level of satisfaction in all of this. It's like this incredible package deal that God has created for us. And it all comes down the avenue of good works. But Paul is clear about this. He said, listen, I'll tell you this, that God has promised to run in advance of you and create opportunities for you to do good works, but these are not inevitable. In other words, you're gonna have a choice every day. You're gonna have a choice. Do you wanna do good works or to embrace that or not? And so every day you wake up, you're gonna have a chance to meet God with what he's doing in the world or not. He's like, it's your choice. That's what relationships are about. You get to decide. But it begs the question, at least for me, and you can join me in it if you want to, it begs the question, so why is it so easy to not? If I'm designed this way, why do I finish so many days going like, gosh, I have a really short list of the good works that I did today that I didn't either have to do or they were on my job description? Why is that? I mean, I'll tell you the way I would answer it. Maybe it's because I would go like, gosh, I think a lot of today I was self-centered, or at least self-centric. Everything that I did today was kind of about my agenda. for us, we might run right past these opportunities, maybe because that we think that the point of all this, the point of church, the point of it getting together, the point of the Bible, the point of all this is to come in and learn the Bible, when really the mission is to live out what we learn in the Bible. That could have been it, you know? If you're like me, a lot of it just could be like, gosh, maybe I was busy, or I was inattentive, or maybe that I just wasn't strategic. And yeah, to all that, you know? But regardless of where it comes from, and regardless of the reasons that we might not feel we fulfill our mission, we always have to choose, right? We always have to make a choice, because if any of these good works happen, it's going to be, Paul tells us, because a deliberate step in your life. You're going to have made a choice to do so. And yeah, some of these big works, some of these good works in life, some of these are going to be big swings. Some of these are going to be like, oh, well, I'm really wrestling with whether or not I should do some big work, big choice of generosity. Big choice of generosity with my time, and I'm going to redirect a whole bunch of time, or a bunch of generosity with my money, or I'm going to do something different with my career in the name of helping people out. Some of those are big swings, right? We love those kind of steps where God kind of prompts and moves somebody's heart to do something like that. God knows we love those. He literally knows we love those, because we pray about it all the time. We ask him for, hey, can we be that kind of church that we have people that feel inspired to make big swings of good works? But today, oddly, I want us to think smaller. Oddly today, I want us to actually to think about small steps. And I want you honestly to go on a journey with me to maybe do something that's more attainable, but certainly more convicting, and that is to consider the vast array of small opportunities that God puts in our world to do good, right? And the vast array of opportunities that God has put in your world to do good in your life as it is now. You don't have to do some big swing and relocate or become a missionary of some other world. This is as in your normal patterns in your more normal day-to-day. And I'm not trying to divert you away from some big swing that God wants you to do with some big, cool, new thing in your life. Go for that if that's the case. But I know that if we get good individually as a church with the good, we're good stewards of these small opportunities and these small acts of good work, then the larger ones are naturally going to follow. So for the rest of our time today, I just want to issue the challenge to go and find the small opportunities to do good this week, because they're going to exist all in your world. That's part of what Paul tells us God's promise for us, is that he's gone before you and put opportunities in your world to do good things. And they're going to exist among all of the people that you come in contact in your world. Some of those that are going to be really familiar with you, and some of those that are not. But you're going to pass by them, and they're going to be an opportunity to do something good, right? In some small way, God's going to put that opportunity in your world. And part of the goal for us and the challenge for us is to awaken to both the opportunities that exist in your world around you, but also too, that the blessings that are found in them. Because I believe that to be true. That's a promise that God's like, hey, if you'll get after this, I've got something for you in it as well. But I know that in order to do this, it's gonna mean we have to integrate in a couple of ingredients, because it's not natural and it has to be a choice. And I think the first ingredient for this is always going to be intention, right? I want to be this way. To search your heart, go and do that work to figure out, is this the kind of person that I want to be? Do I want to be one of those people? It means starting your day with the intent to be one of those people that lives above and beyond just that day-to-day to-do list, left brain kind of function of your life. I want to be somebody that goes out and wakes up every day and to wrestle with, I intend to be that kind of person. That's a great foundation part of the day. To be able to say, I want to wake up every day and intend to be that kind of person. And I don't know what triggers you to do that. If it's a post-it note on your mirror, or if it's somebody reminding you, or a voice memo to yourself, or whatever it is to you. I might propose it's just a simple prayer that you craft for yourself and pray every morning that solidifies your intent to go and do good things in the morning. Here's an example. This is not a magic prayer, but it's something like this. To be able to, before my feet even hit the carpet in the morning, to be able to say, God, I intend to do good today. Use me. Help me to honor my design. I trust you'll prepare opportunities for me today so that I might walk in them. Just to clarify your intent before you even get out of bed in the morning. But gang, intentions are a great start, but they're only that. You can intend all day long. You know the phrase, it's the thought that counts. It's not. It's not the thought that counts. I thought about helping you, but then I didn't. But the thought, huh? And you're like, no, that was not at all helpful. By very definition, it was not helpful. So we can intend all day long, but it also needs a few more ingredients, right? Here's the first one. After intention, it needs expectation. And here's, they sound similar, but expectation means this. That means that I'm gonna walk into my day expecting that God will come through as he promises in the opportunity department. That if God has gone before me and it's gonna ensure that I have opportunities for good works, is that I trust that he will. And I trust that I'm gonna walk into my day, I'm gonna treat it like an Easter egg hunt. That somewhere in my day today, God has planted some little opportunities, and my goal, I'm expecting him to do that. So I've done my part, God, you do your part, and then let's go find them today. So the question for us comes back to, okay, if we have those in place, then the question is then, if we have intention and expectation for God's gonna do what he's gonna do, we're just gonna need to pay attention. And the question is, will we pay attention? You know, to open our eyes and to see the different places and different ways that amid your normal world in your school, on your campus, in your office, in your neighborhood, to opportunities for you to be a tiny light in somebody's world. That God is creating opportunities for you, and will you see them? You know, Paul says God's gonna prepare them, but will we see them is the question for us. You know, our barrier to good deeds is usually not intention. Nobody wakes up like, I'm gonna be a menace to society today. No one does that. Very few people do that. I'll edit. Most of us in the room are like, I wanna be a force for good in the world. I'd love to be a light. So it's not intention. Some of this has to do with our expectation, but also to our ability to pay attention and seeing the opportunities to do good. And you might be thinking, well, what do you mean by going out in your world and finding good things to do? Well, I'm glad you asked that because I made a list, right? So let me just read you that. And this is a short list. And some of this just comes out of my own convictions. When I talk about going and doing good in the world, I mean, what if you paid attention to your coworker or your classmate who obviously is having a rough day and simply said, hey, today looks rough for you. Is there anything I can do? Which 95% of times they'll say no. But you give them a few minutes of your attention, right? What if you slowed down to see the other parent, the mom or the dad that's sitting down the bleachers from you at your kid's game? And you assume that they're stressed out or they're struggling or they're lonely or they're grieving, which are not all hard to imagine. And you imagine that their day could be better if you put down your phone and you slid down the bleachers and you simply said hello. Or what about the teacher who invests in your kid all day long and is worn down because all they typically get from parents are complaints? What if you jotted a short note and said, give this to your teacher, and it says, I see the effort you're putting in, thank you. We appreciate you. What if you slowed down to acknowledge the barista or the cashier or the delivery driver at your door or the security person in the building that you pass every morning and you chose to engage with them in some sort of way that's not just transactional? What if you randomly dropped off something good to eat at a friend or a neighbor who crossed your mind? What if you thought about the older family member or the neighbor who lives alone and realized that maybe a simple phone call or an unhurried check-in might mean more to them than you would ever know? What if in all the in-between moments of your day that you notice the small opportunities to hold a door, to let someone merge, to help somebody load groceries in their car, or simply smile? It's somebody that you walk by. Gang, attention to opportunities is a learned skill. Whether you pay attention or not, you're gonna start to see in those moments where you do, you're gonna start to see your day's purpose with brand new eyes. And then once you see these opportunities, the last thing is all it takes, it just completes the cycle for us, is action. And this means mustering up the courage to do good. And I know this is harder for some of us, it really is. It's harder for you to like, oh my gosh, I see the opportunity, you know. For some of you guys, you love that kind of thing, you're gonna jump right on it. For some of us, we're wired differently to do that. Shout out introverts, where are my introverts in the room? You're like, oh good Lord, talk to a stranger? You know, I get that, I feel it. I'm mostly introvert, right? Those of you in the world that are type A, that you're like, I am making good progress through the world right now. I'm knocking the studio list off and oh my gosh, that person has needs, you know? I get that, right? It's harder for us, right? All you left-brainers right there, right? Depending on the way you wired. Guys, we have a harder time with this. It's harder for us guys to go like, I'm gonna make snickerdoodles for my friends at work, you know, and give it to my guy friends. You know, that doesn't go well usually. We're gonna have to work through that stuff. But whatever your obstacles are in your life to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna push through and put some courage behind that. Because the promise is, Paul tells us the promise is that your courageous step will be worth it. And it might not feel world-changing for you. You might do something like, that didn't change the world, but it changed somebody's day. And lives are made up of days. And ultimately, you never know the impact of what your small act of goodness will do in someone else's life. When you commit and you pay attention and you put a little bit of courage and action behind it, you never know what's gonna happen. And then one more thing, if I can ask you to do this. At the end of the day, when you were doing your shutdown routine, whatever it is for you, headed toward finishing up your day, do this. Take out a piece of paper, get a journal, open up a note on your phone, and just start listing. Look back on your day, start listing out, these are the small good works that I did today, right? The opportunities that you saw and you took them, write that stuff down. And you know what? They're gonna be small, and that's amazing. I smiled at somebody. I held a door with somebody. I gave somebody an encouraging word. I checked in with my aunt. Those, count them up. Those are great. And the reason that it's fine, and if the list is short, that's perfectly okay. But what you're doing is you're training your awareness to match your intent. That's what this does. Because journaling your good work at the end of the day will begin to train you to see the good works, the opportunities for the next day. When you look back and you see what you capitalized on, it's gonna help you see the opportunities the next day, right? So here's the challenge for you, is to go out and live out your design. What Paul says is your design, to go out and to do good works and go experience all that God has for you that he's laid out in your life as is, with changing no traffic patterns, just finding the opportunities in your world right now. And go out and see how purposely loving on the world will create a different view of the way that you see others, the way you see yourself, and also too, surprisingly, the way that you see God. And I wanna be clear, you don't do this stuff so you can earn God's love. That's not what this is about. You're already loved. There's nothing you're gonna do to make God love you more. That's not what this is about. What this is about is unlocking a blessing that God has embedded in the acts of service that you can do to the world. Especially when you live according to the design that Paul talked about. God infuses, and this is so hard to explain, you have to experience it. God infuses service with some sort of weird satisfaction and joy and peace that's incredibly hard to explain. But he embeds it in there. And it's totally counterintuitive, but it's there, and it really explains this passage that we read in Acts. It's from the book of Acts, but it's the words of Jesus where it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you grew up like me, you're kind of like, is it though, you know? But this is what I'm talking about. He says, no, trust me, from your creator, you'll get a blessing. It's baked into service of others and just doing little good things for people. It's a blessing in that. It doesn't make sense and it doesn't come naturally. But I'll tell you, and ask those that do it a lot, that they can attest to this. They find it. There's some sort of weird joy and satisfaction that comes from it. It's a blessing for you in the small acts of being smiling at somebody or making a quick connection with somebody or surprising somebody with a small act of kindness. That's what it's about. And those blessings, sometimes they even grow bigger, especially as people wonder, hey, you know, lean back in and you do something nice for somebody and somebody turns back around and says, hey, can I ask a question? What leads you to be nice to me that way? What makes you nice to people? I'm watching you and what is that about you? You're kind of like a light to the office or a light to the campus or a light to our neighborhood. Why is that? And not that you have an agenda, but every once in a while it gives you an opportunity to say like, well, I just think I'm not here by mistake. I think I'm created with a design. And my owner's manual given to me from my maker tells me that I'm created to do good works and I kind of like it. There's a certain joy and satisfaction in that. And then you suddenly realize that through your act of love that they might come to understand this God that you know loves you immensely and that they might come to understand that it loves He loves them just as much. And you become really good at these small steps of service to your world around you. And in that turn, you know, bigger steps sometimes happen into greater discoveries. So maybe the next time you kind of come to the existential crossroads of your life and you wonder, why am I here and what's my purpose and what am I supposed to do in the world? Just start small and just go out there and answer the question, what was I made for? This just to go do a good work and find out. Because I believe that he has good plans for you and for me. And I believe that we live in a community right now in a time of life that people need it. I would love for sociologists to look back on Decatur, Georgia years from now and be like, I don't know. There was this strand of positivity. There was this strand of goodness that happened. And we don't really know what it is, but we kind of have traced it back to this community of people that took their design seriously and walked out their doors and said, you know what, in our community that needs it, we're gonna go do some good stuff. And it's gonna be small, but we're gonna trust that God's gonna give us those opportunities and it's gonna become infectious. And it's gonna help change the world. I don't think that's crazy. Because I think the world needs it. And for you to honor your design, you need it, and I need it. So all that's left the next time we ask what our purpose is about is just to walk into it and to find ourselves being people that walk that out. Let me pray for us. God, we're grateful for your design. We're grateful for your intentionality of who we are. We're grateful that you've been really clear for us that we're masterpieces. We're created and made. And Father, help us amid our crazy schedules and all this that emerges from the left brain side of who we are to bring our right brain online and to be able to use the question of why we're created and why we exist and what's going to matter hundreds of years from now and activate the goodness that you bring to us in our world. However we're wired, God, allow us to be people that honor our design, but also to step beyond our design and courage to be people that reach out and get addicted to doing small acts of goodness in our world so that we truly might be a blessing to the world, but also feel that blessing of ourselves. God, thank you for Jesus, that he is the most tangible version of who you are, the visible nature of who you are, and help us to be people that reflect his character both in action and in deed to a world that desperately needs it. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for being a God that has good plans for our lives and help us to trust that in everything that we do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.